Sarah, I started a Substack last spring, just kind of as an experiment, and it turns out I love it. I'm treating it kind of like an old school blog, writing about things that are happening in my life.
Megan, I've loved following your stuff on Substack, and I actually just really like Substack in general.
You know, we've both been a lot less active on Instagram lately, and I'm finding that Substack scratches that itch to connect and create without all the busyness of a typical social media feed. So I would love it if Mom Hour listeners wanted to look me up there. I'm at meganfrancis.substack.com, and that's Megan with two A's, meganfrancis.substack.com.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with eight kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Mom Hour. I am Megan Francis here with Sarah Powers. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Megan.
And we are excited to be jumping into everyone's ear holes on a Sunday. Happy Easter if you celebrate it. And if you are, you know, in a sugar coma right now, this is going to be a great, super fluffy topic. I mean, our More Than Mom episodes are always kind of fluffy, but this is one of the more random and fun ones we've done recently, I think.
I think so, too. And also one of the ones that perhaps reveals idiosyncrasies in our individual personalities, even though we're talking about book reading and podcast listening, I feel like it might uncover like some other just weird things about us.
I completely agree, because this is really all about habits. I mean, we've been talking about recently, we've talked about specific ways we spend our free time, shows we're watching, books we're reading, like we get into specifics, but we haven't really talked a lot about the habits around podcast listening or other media consumption.
Right. And I think anytime you dig into habits or schedules or rituals, it's just really satisfying to hear. We all know we're part of a collective podcast community. You all listening, listen to podcasts, duh. Megan and I do. But to kind of like peel back the layers of when and how and what kind of speakers and do we listen with headphones? And like, I just think it's always a fun and very satisfying peek into someone else's life and daily routine. And we know from feedback that you all like that. I also think that because we're in the podcast industry, there's like two layers to this, at least with the podcast listening part. I know we're going to talk about reading books too, but the way our listeners listen, and sometimes you all tell us, you say, I listen while I'm folding laundry, or I'm working from home now, I don't have my commute. And so we have, I think, some like industry level observations about how moms in particular consume podcasts, but then we are also podcast consumers. So it's a little meta too at some level.
It is. And I think that we've learned a lot over the last year about habits and how important they are to the growth of a show, or just like the continued consistency of a show, and like how us being consistent helps other people establish their habits. And then how when the whole world's habits all changed all at once, like really how that affected not just our show, but so many across across the podcast landscape. And I'm sure that's the same with all media. I have a feeling a lot of people went to shorter little snippets of information that they could get right away, like social media and stuff like that. And probably that's why there was a bit of a dip in podcast listening last spring. And then when it came back, my guess is people were listening in brand new ways because there weren't those commutes anymore. And just everything got so shaken up.
Well, it's so funny you say that, because in our listener survey, and I didn't mean to plug this here, but please go take our listener survey. It's still open at themomhour.com/survey if you haven't. But this, you bring up this, like how the pandemic changed people's habits, and we've heard both sides of the story. Some of you have more time and are more into your podcast listening. Some are doing less. And we asked this in our survey, and the pie chart, Megan, looks like, so picture an exact half, 49.6% of our listeners say they listen about the same amount of time as they used to. So the pandemic either didn't change it, or it changed it in a way that like it all shook out in the wash, if that makes sense. And then exactly 25% each have more time or less time than they used to. So I almost expected some kind of a trend here. And it's like you're all over the map, listeners.
That is crazy. And I think so they say that they listen about the same amount, but maybe not the same shows.
True. Yeah. And that's so, all like, we that's asked another thing that could have changed. Time you have. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. And Sarah, you touched on our idiosyncrasies. And I think when you extend podcast listening habits to, you know, music and reading and reading books and all different kinds of reading, or TV shows or movies or whatever, I just think it's fascinating how different personality types just have different ways they consume media mm-hmm. and then different things that are like acceptable or not to them. So like, for example, Sarah, I'm just going to guess that you and I have very different tolerance levels for things like giving up on a book we aren't loving or like mixing song genres like up in a playlist. I mean, I just have a feeling we've both got some like very precious ground that we kind of defend in those areas. And then other areas where we're totally more relaxed, one is more relaxed than the other. And I know you and I have one in particular shared idiosyncrasy that we're going to dive into in a few minutes as well. So yeah. I'm excited for that.
Megan, the end of the school year and kickoff to summer is a busy time of the year for families, but we can all eat stress-free and hit our wellness goals with ready-to-eat meals from our sponsor, Factor.
Factor's delicious meals are never frozen and can be ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can pick from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular choices like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Plus, they have more than 60 add-ons like breakfast, lunch, snacks, and beverages to keep you fueled all day long.
So our team was comparing notes recently on our favorite Factor meals, and Katie loved the herb-crusted chicken with mashed cauliflower and toasted almond green beans. I loved that one too. And get this, so did her little boy, Charlie. She heated it up for lunch one day, and Charlie, who's 3, ate almost all of the green beans. I mean, that's quite an endorsement, right?
I was going to say, what a parenting win. And I get it, Charlie. Those green beans are crazy good. And if you really want to treat yourself, they even have meals with filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Listeners, head to factormeals.com/momhour50 and use code MOMHOUR50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code MOMHOUR50 at factormeals.com/momhour50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Okay, Megan, like many of our listeners, I'm sure I've been doing some spring cleaning in my closet lately, and it always feels so good to get rid of clothes I'm not wearing, things that don't fit or that aren't my style anymore. But you know what I realized? All of my Vionic shoes are always in the keep pile. They just tick all the boxes. They're cute, comfy, high quality. They last forever. And I love growing my Vionic collection, especially with the latest styles from their Vionic Vitals collection.
The Vionic Vitals collection offers daily wear styles designed for elegance, comfort, and versatility. We both love the Uptown Loafer, which collapses flat, so it's perfect for travel. The Chardonnay Heeled Sandal, which I know you love, Sarah. The Walk 23 Classic Sneaker, which our team member Katie gets compliments on all the time. And the Willa slip-on flat, one of my favorites, which comes in 12 colors for any outfit.
Yeah, I need to get the Willa slip-on flat. That's next on my list. Well, listeners, if you're ready to try the shoes we're always raving about, use code THEMOMHOUR15 at checkout for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. That's one-time use only. Vionic shoes, wearable well-being for your feet.
Okay, Sarah. So for this whole first half of the show, we're going to talk about our listening habits. More about podcast listening, because I just think that's going to be really interesting to our audience. And maybe we'll get some great feedback about their listening habits and more specifics. But also a little bit, we'll touch a little bit on music. I know you and I have very different habits around that as well. So I'm going to kick off with some really specific podcast listening questions. Then we'll just kind of go back and forth. So first question, when do you listen to podcasts? And I guess I'll go first on this one. I typically listen when I'm walking, when puttering or cooking, sometimes on longer drives, but almost never on a quick drive. Like if I'm going to only be driving across town or even within 15 or 20 minutes, it's very unlikely that I would put on a podcast because I know the podcast usually won't, you know, finish by the end. Right. And I find that kind of annoying. So that's my when. How about you?
Yeah. Well, I relate to that because it's funny. I do listen on short drives and I find it kind of frustrating. It's like getting interrupted in a conversation, but I do it anyway, which is interesting. So I think we're probably similar. My morning walks are long. I'm trying to walk for probably like 50 minutes right now. So that's a really good length for podcast listening. And then I listen in the car. I get excited if I have, like a 15 minute car ride by myself. Cause I also never would listen to a podcast with the kids in the car. I know those of you with tiny kids, you know, they don't care. They might take a nap or whatever, but I can only listen to my podcast when I'm by myself. So, and then sometimes like on weekend chores, like folding laundry, if I think I'm going to be doing that little chore for a good amount of time, I'll pop in headphones, but sometimes I forget that's a thing. So mostly in my morning walks with like sprinklings at other times.
You know, it's funny. I in our Facebook group a while ago, I actually asked the question when I was trying to decide how to produce my new podcast, Mother of Reinvention. And I had this idea, like, because people will always say no one wants short content or no one wants long content, make it short. Like no one has an attention span. And so I posed that question, would it make more sense to take our, the interviews I'm doing and break them up into multiple episodes or just run, you know, a 30 to 40 minute interview as one? And overwhelmingly, the response was just publish it all as one because I like long podcasts. And I thought, well, that makes sense. They're mostly mom hour listeners and we have a long podcast. So it makes sense that people who are drawn to that would also want, you know, more content in a new podcast. But it just kind of seemed to fly in the face of what's the conventional wisdom. And the funny thing is we're both now saying I'm saying I won't listen to a podcast on a short drive because it annoys me when it cuts off. You're saying you will listen to it, but it still annoys you when it cuts off. But neither you nor I seek out short podcasts for that purpose. Like it wouldn't occur to me to go, well, since I'm just driving across town, I'll just find a 10-minute podcast. Like I don't think that way.
No. So, and I think that conventional wisdom you mentioned was thrown around a lot like 5 years ago when we were going to conferences. And I'm just going to generalize here. I feel like it's kind of a dude thing. Like the male dominated parts of the podcast industry and this presumption. And that's not to say that dudes don't like to listen to long podcasts. To each their own, for sure. But I think there was this like pressure to do like high volume, short length, kind of like very produced bite-sized audio. And I think for a while people thought that's where the industry was going. And I have to say, we're going to get into what types of podcasts we listen to, but I'm listening to some long form interviews by very established, very successful podcasters that are over an hour. And so it's not just us, like people are doing long form and people are liking it. So
And some people have like 2 to 3 hour long podcasts. I mean, that's a bit much for me. I'm not sure I'd ever make it through, but there's a market for that. So you just never know, like to each their own, as they say. Okay. Next question. Where do you listen? And by that, I mean, not just like physically, where are you in your home or environment, but also like what platform are you using? So like, is that the figurative where? I don't know. Two different kinds of where. You go first on this one.
Okay. So I took this question as the where, as like which app I'm using, and also the physicality of the experience, which includes headphones for me and like what kind of speakers. So I listen in Pocket Casts. I've used Pocket Casts for several years, but I am being seduced over to Spotify, Megan. I said this to you privately a couple weeks ago, and I have been listening to some Spotify only audio originals. And it's so funny. This is the type of thing you and I like nerd out about on the industry side of things. Like, what's all this premium content going to lead to? And how's it going to change listener habits? And then I'm having this experience where I am an actual regular consumer of audio content. And I find myself thinking more about switching to Spotify, not just because of the originals that I listen to that I can only listen to there. But I've also thought about like making a playlist for a couple of friends that we share a lot of podcast episodes back and forth. I love the playlist feature. I love that you can share an episode to Instagram stories and like share with your friends what you're listening to. So I'm like kind of married to Pocket Casts and flirting with Spotify right now.
Ooh, like you're a little bit cheating. Yeah,
a little bit. I love it. A little bit. And then in terms of the apparatus, I really need headphones in my ears almost always for my walk. Unless I'm alone in my house, and we'll get into this, unless I'm completely by myself, I don't like to listen on a speaker or smart speaker. I don't like being interrupted. I don't like if I have to walk out of the room and I might miss something. I find if I'm doing dishes, I would have to turn my kitchen smart speaker up really loud because it's very unpleasant for me not to be able to really hear. Like if I'm going to listen, I really want to listen. So I like headphones. I've always had Studio Bluetooth earbuds and they have worked wonderfully over the years. But my most recent pair of Studios is misbehaving. And I still love the brand. I love the design, but I think I have a lemon or they're not charging. They're not charging correctly. They're not Bluetoothing correctly. So lately I've been having a lot of headphones issues and I actually have another pair of Bluetooth earbuds that I could just bust out and I'm being stubborn about it because I really love the way these sound. I love the way they fit in my ears. But if they only connect half the time and if one of them never charges, I'm grumpy about it. So did that even answer the where?
Well, it sort of. You answered two parts of the where, right? You answered the apparatus and the platform. Did you actually say where you are in your house?
I mean, I thought, I guess because we were talking about when. I'm either out on a walk, or if I'm in my house, I'm kitchen or like folding laundry. I'm in my house somewhere or in the car. I feel like I kind of covered that, but yeah.
You're kind of all over the place. Okay. So, well, you and I have talked about our beloved studios and how our new ones aggressively connect even when they're put away sometimes. Like that's my problem. So mine will just decide to jump in on a phone call. And they're like put away in their case, like in a different area of the house. Like they're not even near me. And, you know, the person's like, I can't hear you or something. And or like, I can't hear them.
Yeah.
So it's very, or I've tried to Vox you before and it's just come across like rustling. But that's because I'm not even, it's like picking it up in a drawer in my office or something. And I've also had a couple times now where I've tried to use my Garmin watch to connect to my earbuds. And I blamed my Garmin, but I actually think it's maybe the earbuds that aren't working right because they'll kind of go like, and they'll stop and like kind of cut out. And that's really annoying when you're running, if your music is constantly coming in and out, and maybe there's just like too much Bluetoothing happening. So you've got like the Bluetooth, you know, one Bluetooth speaking to another, maybe that just isn't working. So I don't know. We'll have to like see how it plays out. Okay. So I guess that my habits about where are similar to yours. It's except for the car on a road trip. It's like my house in my house kitchen, the kitchen is putter central. So it would be very rare for me to be folding laundry or really any of that kind of stuff anywhere besides my kitchen. That just tends to be the place where all that stuff is done. And that's where the majority of my podcast listening happens, in addition to walking the dog. I am walking the dog a little less lengthy walks recently because she's just getting kind of old and she's just not managing long walks as well anymore. And I do not listen to podcasts when I run almost ever. So it's really just walking or puttering. And I also usually listen. Well, I listen with my earbuds if I'm out of the house, and I listen on my Google Home when I'm in the house. And it's funny. So you tried to get me on Pocket Cast a long time ago. I actually paid for the app. I downloaded it and then I just kept forgetting to use it. So even though I agree with your dislike of Apple Podcasts and I don't think it's ideal, the search thing I don't think makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of things I don't love about it, but it's just habitual. I've been listening to podcasts on Apple Podcasts for so long. I've got shows downloaded going back years. Like I just at this point, it would be pretty hard for me to really make the switch, except I also have been using Spotify very randomly lately for listening to podcasts. And that's because I listen on Google Home in my kitchen, and I have not found it easy at all to listen to podcasts on Google Home. Like it just, it's not intuitive unless they've changed something pretty recently. It used to be that you couldn't choose an episode. Like you could only start with the most recent and then work backward. But if you're on Spotify, I just get my music going on Spotify. That works great. And then I just switch it. Like I'll just go on my device and switch it to the podcast I want to listen to. Maybe I don't even have to do that, but I'm so paranoid about podcasts and like not finding the right ones and stuff. Right. It works great. So I'm just finding that if I'm like doing a hands-free situation in the kitchen, it's often a lot easier for me to use Spotify. And what that means is I have two completely different like listener experiences happening that don't, it's not even like you where there's rhyme or reason. Like you're going to Spotify because there's an exclusive or whatever. And I'm going there just because I just forget to, you know, I don't feel like using my phone to do it.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
That's interesting.
Same thing, different reasons, but I have a feeling there's probably a whole lot of solutions that Spotify has created for some of those pain points. And I'm sure that's why they're doing so well.
And they're creating a universe where it's kind of like Facebook. I don't know if this is a good analogy, but like Facebook, it's like they created a universe where people were hanging out there anyway. And then once they had that domination, that like domain, then adding groups and adding a marketplace and adding Messenger was so relatively easy. And I feel like Spotify is trying to do that with audio. And, you know, they have cleared a bunch of the big hurdles, I think, for a lot of people. And so then adding podcasts, adding the way they do ads, you know, it's all, I feel like the flywheel is moving, so to speak, for Spotify.
Yeah, agreed. And I believe I read pretty recently that they were experimenting with some Spotify curated playlists that mixed podcasts with music, which I think is really interesting. It's hard for me to imagine liking that. I like to usually be in one mode or another. But whenever I say something like that, I will sometimes learn that my preferences are a little more plastic and flexible than I think they are, you know?
And there's a lot of music related podcasts. So anytime you're talking about entertainment or people are talking about a band or a song or an album. And then I know in Brené Brown, like she will do a little playlist that goes with an episode because music is big in her conversation. So, yeah, I think it's interesting.
So the one thing I want to make sure that we talked about here, Sarah, because I know you mentioned that you have to have earbuds in. You don't like to listen to podcasts around kids. Like you don't want to miss something. And it's not something that you would just have like playing in your car with them in the car. But this somehow you and I both stumbled on a truth about both of us that you thought was just you being weird. And it turned out we're both weird in the same way. And it's that we both have these weird privacy issues when it comes to other people like horning in on what we're watching or reading or listening to. And watching is a little different. I don't feel the same about because watching is like, I don't know, because there's a TV, it's kind of expected people will wander in and out of the room and just look at it. But when it comes to like listening to music or podcasts or like Voxer messages, I feel very self-conscious when people know what I'm choosing or why it's not quite as universal as it is with you. I think you have some more universality about it. But for me, it's like, I find it really embarrassing when I ask Google Home to play certain songs and I don't know why. And I don't want my kids to know about some of the podcasts I listen to. And I don't know why. Like, it's very strange.
Well, we were laughing because what's funny about it for both of us is it's completely separate from the nature of the content. So I was joking. We discovered that we both hate when someone looks over our shoulder when we're on a laptop, even if what we're doing is like the most innocent, like there's nothing to catch us. We're not doing anything embarrassing. We're not breaking the rules, but we have this very private and self-conscious experience about a lot of several media consumption habits. For me, definitely Voxer messages. I use Voxer in a lot of different ways. And when I'm listening to my Voxer messages, it's a very like internal, you're inside Sarah's head. It's like I'm having a private conversation. So like if someone were to overhear, even not embarrassing stuff at all, it feels like vulnerable or something. And then, same thing with, I don't know, like the kids get in the car and like whatever self-help podcast I'm listening to, it just feels, I feel more protective and more private than seems to be warranted by the content itself. Like I would publish a big list. I'll tell you guys all the things I'm listening to. I'm not embarrassed about it, but I feel protective when I'm actually in the listening or consuming mode. I don't want anyone in my business.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes and it's very random when I am like that and when I'm not, but particularly with music, like my kids listen to music all the time. They listen to me sing along with music in the car all the time. But I have a really weird hang up about cueing music in front of them. And I don't know why. Like, it's not like I care if they think my music choices are cool. They know that they are not. And it's not like I care that they know I'm listening. It's just like, sometimes I guess I think maybe the name of a song is kind of dorky, or like the name of my playlist that I put together has a dorky name. Or maybe like you suggested, it's just that certain songs bring me to an emotional place that I don't want anyone to like know I'm queuing myself up for on purpose. I don't know. It's a real, I'm sure we could probably spend many hours dissecting ourselves psychologically here, but I'm so curious if other listeners have similar hangups.
So I'm going to say one more quick thing, and it's more about the people looking over our shoulders when we're working on a laptop, which feels the same, but it's slightly different. Back in the olden days when I used to work in coffee shops, one time, a long time ago, I posted a picture about how I always set up in the corner, like as far back to a wall, because I feel very exposed if people are walking by looking at what I'm doing, even if what I'm doing is so boring and no one cares and there's nothing secret about it. And I had a lot of responses of people saying that they were exactly the same way. So I just wonder if it's a quirk or a personality trait. I look over other people's laptops in a coffee shop all the time. I want to know what everyone's doing.
I know. But that's like, you know, that's how that curiosity, you know, like, you know, that's why people are looking at yours. And yeah, you're right. Yeah. I could be shopping for like cookware. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. I don't want anyone knowing. Okay. All right. Well, we're weird. Moving on. So this one is kind of hard for me, and I'll go first on this because I don't have much to say. And the question is, like, how do you decide which podcast to listen to? And my answer is it's completely random. And often, unless I have some burning desire to listen to a specific podcast, and that tends to be the ones I binge listen to, like the Dolly Parton show. I can't remember what.
Yeah.
Dolly Parton's America. Or like if I'm listening on a road trip or something, and I've already chosen ahead of time what I'm going to listen to. But most of the time, you know, queuing up my podcast is like the last thing in a long line of other things that have happened first. So I'm going to go walk the dog, right? I get dressed. I make sure I have the poopy bags. I make sure I have my earbuds and they're charged. I make sure I have the leash. I get the dog. Like, I have all these things I have to do. And like, as I'm walking out the door, I just want a podcast to start and I don't want to have to think about it. And that's when I will just go in and be like, I don't know. I guess I'll just list this one's up. Sure. And I sometimes am then disappointed because it's not really what I want to listen to. Mm-hmm. And I haven't quite figured out how to know, like how to know what podcast mood I'm in or how to branch out and find new shows. I know they always say podcasts have a discoverability issue. And I think that's true, because how do you find out about new TV shows? Like, you hear your friends talk about them, you see them, maybe you see a preview for it before a different show. And it's just not, it doesn't feel that way in the Google, in the podcast world. It doesn't feel like there's such a like seamless way just to know what someone like you might like.
Well, I think Spotify is going to probably change that too, if we're talking about, because that's like that, all that algorithm stuff. I feel a lot of the same way. And I also feel that kind of mental load of having to like the decision fatigue a little bit or decision. Yeah. So I really feel that. So a big help with that has been that we're going to talk on Tuesday about friendships and close ride or die friendships. And my ride or die threesome is in Voxer, my high school friends, Sarah and Erica. And we actually share back and forth a lot of podcast episodes to listen to. And it's really broadened some of the shows I listen to. And it's also given me permission to just dabble a little bit more. I think a lot of our listeners maybe have the thing where they subscribe to like 6 shows and then they just listen to every episode of those shows when they come out. Like, and that, you know, so their feed is either full up or it's empty. And I'm much more dabbling right now. Like, I'll go over here and listen to an interview. I'm subscribed to way more podcasts than I listen to every episode. So I'm definitely like cherry picking right now. But I also kind of crave that, what you were talking about, like, I wish someone would decide for me. And again, I've thought about like being a little more heavy handed with my own curation by almost making like a Spotify playlist for myself at the beginning of the week. So that once I like hit play on my walks, like if something finishes, I've only had, like, as the lazy genius Kendra would say, I've decided once. Like, I make the decision once, and then I don't have that decision fatigue over and over again. So it sounds like we're both a little cherry picky right now.
Yeah, and I feel like that's one thing that, like, a Spotify playlist comes, because I could sit down. I could even do this on my computer, and you know I like to do a lot of that kind of stuff on my computer. Anything that takes more, like, planning, thinking, and, like, clicking around a lot, I would way rather do it on my computer. So I could have Spotify open and then be clicking around and thinking, ooh, what do I want to listen to? And then just be adding it to a podcast playlist that is just my all week long playlist. Mm-hmm. And I could really see myself leaning in on something like that. Because you're right. It's like, just figure it out one time, not when I'm walking and my hands are full and there's a dog yanking on my arms.
Yeah. I think we're very similar there.
Okay. Well, what categories are you most likely to listen to?
Well, this is interesting. I'll be quick, but I will say this has changed a lot in the, like, I would say in the pandemic year. I used to really favor podcasts that were kind of like ours, like friendly conversational chats. I listened to a lot of podcasts produced by our friends in the industry that are a lot like ours. And I still pop into those and feel very like connected to those podcasts. But I'm listening to a lot more long form interviews than I ever used to. And I'm popping in and listening to one interview here. And then, like, then I don't feel the need to listen to everyone that's ever done. Right now, I'm loving Renegades, which is a conversation between Barack Obama and Bruce Springsteen. It's a Spotify original. And they have, like, long form conversations about different issues in American culture and history. It's really fascinating. I have been listening to more and more Brené Brown's long interviews. I loved the one she did with Abby Wambach. Recently, I listened to Bill Gates on Dax Shepard, and then I listened to Melinda Gates on Brené Brown, and I had this, like, weird podcast crossover moment. And I was like really into the Bill and Melinda Gates. I learned more about them than I ever knew. So like I'm following my nose toward, I would say, this general genre of long form interviews with interesting people. And then I always like news and current events. I can absorb that pretty quickly. And I like personal growth stuff. So that's where I am right now.
Yeah. I mean, I would say mine hasn't changed a ton. I've honestly never been into conversational podcasts like ours, which is so weird. And when I first started podcasting, like years and years ago, in like the mom and sort of like women's lifestyle space, that was kind of what there was. It wasn't really, there weren't like a lot of these really produced shows that spoke to kind of what I liked. It was just a lot of chatter and it used to drive me nuts. I kind of really hated it. So I always laugh that that's where we wound up going. And sometimes I think that the show, the content you like making isn't necessarily the content you enjoy consuming. And I'm sure there are all kinds of reasons for that. Mm-hmm. But I'm more likely to listen to business-oriented podcasts. I still listen to like Masters of Scale that you turned me on to a long time ago. The one about how I built this, like the shows like that. Like I'll get kind of frustrated when I'm out of new content in those shows. Mm-hmm. I do dabble in like personal development or health and wellness shows, but then I kind of will forget to go back. It's just not as easy for me just to jump in because I have to be really interested in the topic or I don't find it interesting, if that makes sense. So, or the person. And every now and then a storytelling podcast or like an investigative podcast, but those are usually the one where I'm listening all at once on a, like on a road trip or something. And I don't think to go back to those every week. I don't like, they kind of feel like cliffhangers and I just want to get it done.
Yeah. Those are great for. And you can even binge those even in your daily podcast listening. You just listen to nothing else for like 4 days, you know, on your walks and while you're doing laundry. And I think Nice White Parents was the last time I did that. And that was like a good binge where that I just didn't listen to anything else until I was done.
Yeah. And that's how I listened to season two of The Dream and Dolly Parton's America. It was just, you know, sometimes I'd find myself wanting to walk a little longer so I could maybe start the next episode. But that's not such a bad thing, right?
No.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll go first on this one. Categories you never or almost never consume. I put comedy, and that one popped into my head only because I know that's like a super popular. I mean, I'm sure there's a million categories. Okay, there's probably 100 categories. I would never consider listening to, but comedy is really up there. I think it's like number two or three, I think, on like the most consumed category. So it just made me kind of laugh that I, except for our friends at What Fresh Hell, which I think of as more of like a parenting show that's funny than a straight up comedy show.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I've ever listened on purpose to a comedy podcast, like ever.
Yeah. I said the same thing, and comedy podcasts are huge. My brother's really into them and people get really into them. I've also heard, I'm sure listeners who know more know this, but that the ads on comedy podcasts are really funny because we know, I mean, you all know how we do our ads and we get our talking points and we like the brands and we tell you about them. And there's a certain amount of like things we have to say or whatever. And I've heard that the ads on comedy podcasts are hilarious because the hosts just do whatever they want with those prescribed.
And for you and me, it's really more the outtakes that are hilarious. So,
right. Yeah. Yes. Someday we'll publish those. I don't listen to comedy podcasts. There's a lot I don't listen to. It's funny. I don't have any desire to listen to parenting podcasts, like about parenting. I mean, I feel like it's the industry we're in, and I still might read a parenting book on a topic, but I'm not looking for parenting audio content. So
I'm not really either. I will say though, that we do have a lot of, like, I'm not seeking that out. And I mean, even when I was a parenting blogger, I did not seek out parenting blogs. Like, it's just kind of been, when I was writing parenting books, I didn't really read a lot of parenting books. It's been like typically the kind of stuff I'm, again, producing is not the kind of stuff I want to consume. Maybe I want to break. We do have a lot of friends and colleagues in our like milieu who do great podcasts. And every now and then I'll listen to one just to kind of keep up with what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But I'm listening for them, not for the content. And that's nothing against them. I'm sure it's great content if you want to listen to it. I think I'm just maxed out on like parenting, parenting content. And the other thing I will say is every now and then I will be listening to a show that's more of like a news show or like an investigative show but it has a parenting angle. Mm-hmm. And I like that. Like if there's some science or something like that. But,
yeah, totally.
Yeah. Okay, Sarah, question for you that I'm just so curious of your answer. Do you ever stop if a show right in the middle, like an episode, and then never return?
So clarifying question, do you mean stop it by choice? Like I'm bored and I'm going to switch, or like I get out of the car and I never, and I forget to return later, or either? That,
probably more the latter was really what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I often click away because I'm just like, eh, not for me. But
yeah.
Yeah. Like when you listen almost all the way to the end and then next time you forget that you didn't.
Yeah,
you know,
it happens. It happens to me all the time. And it goes back to this kind of like cherry picking behavior I have. So I will forget and or I will think that I have listened to the whole thing, or I'll think I had like 2 minutes left, like I'm almost done. And then I'll look later and realize there was like 20 minutes left. And I mean, sometimes it's like finding a little $20 bill in your pocket, or but other times it's like, oh, wait, I didn't finish that. Very different than how I am with books, which we will get to later. So, yeah, it happens to me all the time.
Yeah, it happens to me all the time, too. And the funny thing is, I often just don't want to go back and listen to the like, say there's, you know, 10 minutes left or something. I don't really want, I feel like then I'm just getting like the leftovers. So then I will often be like, no, I want a fresh episode. Like, I don't want a stale old episode that I already like almost ate. You know, it's like the crust of the pizza. I don't.
Oh, see, I get a lot of satisfaction out of finishing and feeling like I finished something. So to me, it's like, oh, OK, like that's not I forgot that I didn't listen to this, but I'm happy to finish it. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. All right. Well, this is another question where I kind of feel like you and I have different different ways that we are about these things. So do you care about keeping up with the latest, or do you just jump around? And I know you and I are both trend averse with a lot of things. With podcasts, I do feel a bit more pressure to know what people are talking about just because it's the world our business lives in. But then that said, like, I've still never listened to a single episode of Serial. I only listened to Dirty John because you made me. I mean, like, I feel like I'm still not trend averse in the way I'm trend averse with other things, but I'm just kind of trend meh. Like, I don't care that much. Mm-hmm. How about you?
I'm very selective about which trendy podcasts I will listen to. If I jump on a bandwagon, it's usually in the more serious vein, like not Serial, but serious, like something that's like produced by the New York Times that I've heard is really good, or like it's something that everybody's talking about, but more in a like journalistic way, maybe.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that I have found myself turning to, less of the true crime or the really like some new hot celebrity podcast, like very unlikely to grab my attention. But if I'm hearing enough smart people talk about a New York Times produced podcast, I would probably definitely check it out. And lately I'm listening to more of those like chart toppers because of that Voxer group I mentioned, where Sarah and Erica and I, we tend to share specific episodes, which is very freeing because it's like, you don't have to subscribe and listen to this whole back catalog. Just go listen to this one conversation.
Yeah.
And so that's, I think, turned me on to some more quote unquote, like popular or trendy shows. I was very late to the game in watching The Office, like the actual TV show. And then even later to the game about the podcast Office Ladies, which is like very popular among, I feel like, women our age. And it's very cute and it is fun. I don't listen all the time, but it's fun to put on once in a while. So that is, I feel like, trendy. And then I've talked before about I had such an aversion to Armchair Expert and Dax like 3 years ago when it felt like everyone was talking about it. And I was like, what? Like, how good can this guy be? And I have totally had to eat crow there. Like, I really like Dax's long form interviews. I only listen when I care about the person. So I still only listen to 10% of them. But I had to really get off of my trend averse high horse about that one. Because I feel like everyone everywhere was like, oh, my gosh, did you hear so-and-so on Dax?
And I don't listen to Dax.
And everyone loves Dax and Kristen. And it just felt like a thing I didn't want to care about. But I really, really enjoyed the long form interviews with some really interesting people he's had on, like Jane Goodall, of all people. And like,
oh my goodness.
It's not just like entertainers and movie people. So, yes, I can change is the lesson there.
I love that. And, you know, what's funny is Dax and Kristen were in Southwest Michigan a couple years ago, and I am ashamed of my fellow brethren because they basically got stalked like around here. People were taking their pictures at the beach and at Meijer and posting them on Facebook. And then I was like, I had this weird, like, because I felt bad and embarrassed that so many people were acting like such fools, then I even wanted to listen to his show less. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Like, it's such a weird, like, I should have been like, no, I support him by listening to his show. But then I was like, now I really can't get on this bandwagon. So maybe I'll get on it now.
I have a really quick related question. Do you ever feel like annoyed when people who are already famous in other media forms start a podcast and everyone's yes. talking about it?
I feel real annoyed. Can't we just have this one thing? Yes.
Right. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. That is definitely another issue. I think that that's one of those things that was really hard to get used to when podcasting went from being totally indie to now becoming a real thing. And along with that recognition comes great things for us. More people listen. Sure. Advertisers are more interested in us. So like, we kind of have to let it go a little bit, but there is a little bit of that, like, why are you on our turf? Like, just let us, you have radio, let us have this or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. You have your TV, you have movies, you have everything that you own.
Like, right.
You need a podcast.
Can we just have this?
Oh my gosh. Okay. We are welcoming back Ritual as a sponsor today. Megan, we both try to make healthy choices, but you know, sometimes it's tricky to sort through fact and fiction when it comes to supplements and vitamins to figure out just what they're doing for us. That's why I'm glad Ritual keeps studying their products and sharing the results, especially as it relates to women, since women are the focus of all Ritual's products, including the Essential for Women 18 Plus Multivitamin.
And the results are super reassuring. Just as an example, Ritual conducted a university-led clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin, and it was shown to increase vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin is made with high-quality and traceable key nutrients in clean, bioavailable forms with 9 key nutrients in 2 capsules per day. Plus, they are leading the industry when it comes to sustainability. They use lower carbon packaging and prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients. That kind of thoughtfulness really matters to me.
No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/themomhour. Start Ritual or add the Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/themomhour for 25% off.
Sarah, we're welcoming our sponsor, Element. That's spelled L-M-N-T, a zero-sugar electrolyte drink that leans on current science about what our bodies really need in order to deliver the most effective hydration possible. You know, Sarah, Eric is really into keeping up with health research, and he's been insisting to me for years that we actually need more salt to stay hydrated. Turns out Element agrees because they've developed their product based on a growing body of research that shows that for optimal health outcomes, we actually need to be taking in sodium levels at 2 to 3 times government recommendations. That's a big difference.
Yeah, it really is, Megan. And, you know, electrolyte deficiency or imbalances can cause headaches, cramps, fatigue, brain fog, and weakness. I know I can feel really rotten when I'm dehydrated. And also, I don't love the taste of plain water, so I'm not that great about drinking it. Element makes a huge difference in how much I'm enjoying my hydration and in how I feel, and it's super easy to fit it into my daily routine. My favorite flavor of Element is the grapefruit, but if that's not for you, we're going to get you set up with a variety pack so you can find your favorite Element flavor. Plus, Element has a no questions asked refund policy. You don't even have to send the product back to get your refund.
Yeah, you can receive a free Element sample pack containing one packet of 8 flavors. So you'll get 8 total packets free with any order when you purchase through our custom URL. That's drinkelement.com/momhour, DRINKLMNT/momhour. This offer is available exclusively through our partnership, and it's available for both new and returning customers. To get that offer, again, go to drinkelement.com/momhour.
Okay, so when we were planning this episode, you had lots to say about music, or you had a lot of ideas of talking about music, and I did my sheepish thing, which is like, I don't really listen to music at least the way you do. You're so intentional and like passionate and knowledgeable about music, and I always just feel like I have nothing to say. And what's funny is we're role reversal, because you sometimes say that about TV too, whereas like I could talk about TV for 2 hours, but not music. So I guess... I don't have very many music listening habits that I haven't already covered with podcasts, because I mostly listen to podcasts. The kids and I will listen to a few playlists in the car. And I in a future episode, I could talk about my kids' music tastes and how that's evolving. But that's different from my own. And then right. I love my Broadway musicals, and I usually listen to them on Fridays because it's like a guaranteed mood picker upper. And then I text you questions and facts about musicals on Friday mornings from my walk. There you go.
We also had a very late Friday night conversation about The Music Man one time that just went on and on. It was over Voxer, and I think we were mostly voice Voxing, and I was like out somewhere, and that was
singing. Yeah.
Yes, singing, you were singing. Mm-hmm. And then I was like giving you props on your singing. Anyway, yeah, I am pretty intentional, but I'm not intentional, if that makes sense. Like, I just have habits that I fall into and they happen. And then I look back and go, wow, there's really some patterns here. So one of the things like about how and where I listen to music depends a lot on the format. And then also the location kind of dictates the format. So I have a record player. My brother has a record player. We listen to a lot of records as a family. My sister has a record player. It's like kind of a thing that we all like to do. And with a record, what's so great about it is you listen to the whole thing. Obviously, you're not going to skip around. And you always listen. Like, I always listen to the B-side. I would never take a record off and like not flip it and listen to the whole thing ever. Okay. But I've also discovered a ton of great songs that were just never hit singles, or maybe they just weren't the hit singles that stuck around. Mm-hmm. So a lot of artists from like the 60s, 70s, like stuff that I have legitimately never heard, or maybe heard on the radio once or twice in my life and just didn't know. And they're like, oh, these are really good songs, but they're not the kind of songs I would bother to listen to if I was like flipping through a Spotify playlist. I'd probably skip it. So it's just a very different kind of experience. If I'm in my car, I have a really old car that has a CD player in it. And like one of those aftermarket Bluetooth things that you, you know what I mean? Like that you stick in your cigarette lighter, because my car is old enough that it still has a cigarette lighter. I don't know if cars really have those anymore. But for short distance, like if I'm just going across town, I just want something in my ears, sometimes silence. I'm really just about the easiest way to get from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I default to the radio, or I'll just put whatever playlist I was already listening to on, or sometimes I'll play a CD because my car has a CD player. Mm-hmm. And this is such a funny story. When you and I went to Nashville, so gosh, now how long ago was that? 18,
well, that was the last time we saw each other. Yeah, it's almost 18 months. Yeah.
Okay.
So November of 2019.
I had just gotten my car with a CD player in it when we went there, and you and I went out to lunch and at a honky tonk with a listener who's a musician named Nora Jane Struthers. And she took us out. It was really fun. She sang and she gave us each a CD. And then I got home and was like, hey, I know what I'll do. I'll put this in my car. And then it's all I listened to for months, because once it was the only CD I could find and was in my car. And so it was just on a loop. So I have that memorized, like, forwards and backwards, Nora Jane's CD. We should link it up in the show notes. But totally. I just think it was so funny. I'd get in the car and be like, hey, I guess I'll just listen to Nora Jane again and just play it again. And it was just really like the kind of music I like, I don't know, like a fun country song, but not overly country, like a little folky, I guess. And like, I just really enjoyed it. So that was really fun and funny. And her CD is still in my car, but now I'm listening to more playlists again. So with road trips, this is kind of fun. I'm really intentional about music. I will let the kids DJ with parameters. They don't get to just play whatever they want, or they can like two or three songs in a row. And then I kind of take over again or give my opinion. We do listen to a lot of belt along musicals. Like we'll listen to Dear Evan Hansen or Hamilton. We've got a whole list of those. And Will and I like to do all the harmonies, and he takes the male parts and I take the female parts. And that's really fun.
I love it.
I know, it's a good time. Now this is really fun. I'm going on spring break this coming week, and I will probably not be doing most of the driving because I'm going with my special man friend and his daughter and the three younger kids. So we're all going together. So I'm going to be back in the passenger seat on a road trip with kids. Like, I've been on a couple road trips with Eric, but I have not done that with kids where I'm in the passenger seat. So I get to take over my DJ duties for the whole car again, which I'm really excited about because I just don't feel like I've gotten to really do that as much as I used to.
Yeah.
Although now, because everyone's got phones, like when they were little, it was always just all on me. Mm-hmm. But now they've all got phones, and probably what'll end up happening is I'll get off the Bluetooth every now and then and let them take over. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then walking, I don't listen to music very much, but when I'm running, I listen to like fast moving playlists. And this is kind of a funny story. So I've started running again. And Eric told me that if I pick up my cadence, which means your feet just move. And people who are listening who are already runners know this, but I have long legs. So I always kind of felt like the longer my stride, the better. And apparently the science is in and that is not the case. And what you want to do is move your feet faster because then there's less, you're not up in the air as much and you're not coming down as hard. And you're actually able to propel yourself forward faster with like fewer injuries and stuff. It's just more efficient. So the ideal is someplace around, I think like 170 steps per minute, something like that. So there's actually playlists you can find that are like a certain number of beats per minute in the song so that you match it to your cadence. And I've been trying to work up from like 155, I think was my average cadence when I first started tracking it. And so I downloaded, or I didn't download, I just found a playlist that is supposed to be like around 165, but like some of the songs are a little faster. And I think it actually grows progressively. So yesterday I went for a run and I put it on and the song was, California Love by Dr. Dre. And it goes, California Love, bump, 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 bump. And so like my feet are moving to that. And I looked down at my watch and I was running 174 was my cadence. And I shaved a minute off my mile.
Wow.
So like, and it didn't feel harder. Like it was just like bump, 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 bump. And I just kept my feet going to that beat. So I'm a convert. Music helps you run faster, apparently.
Love it.
And that's it. I mean, I talked about the kitchen. I'm whatever I'm in the mood for. I tend to be really sentimental when I'm listening to music in the kitchen. I'm experimental and I'm sentimental. Like I'll listen to whatever, but I often like to set a certain mood when I'm in the kitchen. And sometimes that's a sappy mood. Sometimes that's like a lady power mood. Kind of all over the place.
You know, I wish I could like get to, and you've influenced me in lots of ways. So there is still time. There's still hope for me. But I also feel sentimental about music. It's not that I don't love music, but when we talked about the decision fatigue or the like, I'm not sure what to click on with podcasts, times that by 20,000 for me with music. And I feel I don't have a like a deep foundation of knowledge of music like the way you do. My parents didn't really listen to much music or like have much of their own. Like I didn't have a lot of musical influences until I was older, and I always kind of felt like left out in a way. I would love, I also feel sentimental about music. I also love having music on in the kitchen, but it's like I don't even know myself and what I want, kind of, or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's one of those things that like the more you're immersed in it and like take chances and I don't know, branch out, the easier it gets. But I was like that when I kind of, I grew up listening to so much music and I was so into music. And then I had a long dry spell when my kids were little and I would only listen to music that happened to be on the radio. And it really probably wasn't until I got Spotify that I got really back into music. Oh no, I'll take that back. It was before Spotify. It was like when, not Netflix. What was the thing everyone was listening to like 10 years ago?
Pandora.
But even before that, like the ones that ended up being totally illegal. It was like when all that.
Napster.
Like when Napster kind of came on the scene.
When our listeners were born.
Well, I know. When Napster started coming, then I was sort of like, ooh, okay. I can sort of dabble and sort of like dip my toe back in. But it really, I think Spotify has completely changed the game for music wise, because I can just access anything I want. And I've probably had Spotify since 2012, maybe.
Yeah, well, I've had it a long time too. Yeah. And the paid version for probably 5 years. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I guess we can move on to reading, although now I just don't feel like I have as much to say about consuming things with my eyeballs as my earballs.
That's okay. You have something to say, I'm sure.
All right. Well, let's talk about our book reading habits. And Sarah, I know that you also could say some things about like articles, and we'll dig into that in a little bit. But just tell me, like, when do you read?
For the past several years, my mornings have been my reading time. And listeners know this because I've mentioned it many times, but I'm actually reading a little bit more before bed, even if it's just a couple pages. So I have a book on my nightstand. And I'm actually staying in bed when I get up in the morning. The last couple months, Brian brings me coffee and I stay in bed because we don't have good reading light in either of our like living spaces. And I actually love it. So that way the book stays by the bed. It never leaves. And I read a little bit in the morning and a little bit in the evening usually.
So you remember how you and I talked about this and I was trying to establish a habit where I would like read not in my bed and like because I kept falling asleep and that I never did that. So for me, it's almost always bedtime with a couple, unless I'm on vacation. On vacation, I just read whenever. With a couple of caveats. During the summer, I read a lot at the beach and I read by the pool. And if I have something to read that feels a little more instructive, like if it's something where I need brain power, like say I was like reading, I've read a lot of yoga books recently where there's like almost like a workbook component. I will almost always do those in the morning. Anything that's like it requires brain power, I consider that kind of recreational reading, but I don't want to do it at night because I will definitely fall asleep with a book in my hand. Which leads us to the next question. Where do you read? And I just answered it in bed almost all of the time. And then I fall asleep and I can't get more than 3 pages in usually before zonking.
Yeah. Well, and I accidentally answered that one too. So it's in bed, whether it's morning or night. And then, I mean, it sounds so silly, but if I carry my book and I always read a physical book, I carry it out into the other part of the house just in the afternoon or something. It sounds great. I will forget to put it by my bedside and then I will not read at night and morning. It's like it needs to be, they say like with habits, like make it really easy on yourself. Like it needs to be the first thing you see or it needs to be part of the routine. So for me, that's bedside.
Yeah. And I read a lot of my Kindle. I do like to get hard copy books, but I'm not as likely to read those in bed because I don't find it comfortable reading like a thick book in bed if I'm lying down. But I sleep with my Kindle. Like it's like tucked into the bed next to me. It's not even on my bedside table sometimes. It's like under my pillow or like in the passenger side of my bed. So I think you're so right. Making it easy on yourself means you read more. So Sarah, how do you decide what to read? Do you have a discoverability problem with it comes to books or
I just realized and I wouldn't have made this connection. Very often I decide what to read because I heard about it on a podcast.
That's funny.
And it's often so sometimes it's the author itself, you know, themselves, they're interviewed. So that and I read a lot of nonfiction. In fact, every title I've read this year has been nonfiction and that's okay. So a lot of times it's either a podcast I listened to or an article I read or a social media conversation I saw. We follow and we interact with a lot of authors in the nonfiction space. And then those people are also avid readers who are reading outside their genre. And so I feel like I'm just exposed to a lot of bookish types who are constantly recommending stuff. And I use Goodreads. If I think about it, I will put it on my library holds list or order it. Or we have a great local bookstore now that if I buy books, it's always from my local bookstore here in Santa Barbara. So I'm pretty good about keeping a queue for myself, or I might get it for a birthday or Christmas gift. But usually it's because I've heard about it somewhere, and often that's on a podcast. So I'm rarely being like, oh, this looks good. Let me pick this up. It's usually on a recommendation of someone or something somewhere.
So mine is sometimes like that. My sister is an avid reader, and she recommends a lot of books, but I forget half the time. She recommends so many books I can't keep up with them all. I should write them down and keep them like next to my bedside or something. But for me, it's like if I go to the library or the bookstore, I truly will just find a cover that looks appealing and maybe look up a review. But usually it's just like, yep, looks good. Or maybe if it's at the bookstore, the person working might recommend it or tell me what it's about. Those are like impulse purchases or impulse, you know, borrowing, I suppose. On my Kindle, I do tend to revert to a lot of old books I've read before just because they're there and they're easy and I'm reading before bed when I really just want comfort reading anyway. Mm-hmm. And I will sometimes look at the like, you because you liked this, you might like that or whatever they have on Amazon. Sometimes. But I don't rely on that too much. It's a lot of reading same stuff that I've already read. So then that leads me to the question, and I can answer this one first. What kind of books we're reading most right now? Or just what are we reading right now? Category or titles? So I'm rereading the Outlander series and I am on book 6 for like the fourth time or something. And I skip around a lot in this series. I don't like all the books equally. In fact, there's probably 2 now that I would pick out and reread over and over and kind of just abandon the rest. They're really thick and it's not the kind of thing where I'm going to start at book 1 and like blast my way to the end. There's like 9 books, so that's not going to happen. I did discover, so it's set in North Carolina and the trip I'm going on next week or this coming week is to North Carolina in the mountains. And I was like, huh, I wonder if it's anywhere near where the Outlander series is. And I'm not even kidding. Our cabin is in the same town that this book is set in right now. Isn't that so fun? So, and it's not mentioned specifically in the series, but like you can kind of breadcrumb it if you listen to the author. Like she's made some like clues or hinted at it. And it's, if you kind of piece together the local rivers and things like that, you can figure it out. I know. So I'm excited about that and hoping I can find some scenes from there. And just talking about like categories of books, I love poetry. I forget to read it. Like I don't pick it out, but both my friend Candace and my sister Catherine both gave me books of poetry recently. And I just love having something like that next to my bed. That's been really fun. I usually have at least one book going about something esoteric. I mentioned yoga, but it could be like philosophy or faith or something like that. Like, and those are the kind of things that I can kind of dip in and out of. I don't feel like I have to just stick with it. And sometimes I'll go away from it for a long time and then come back. And unlike fiction, where if I lose the plot line, I have to back up, I don't feel like that at all with that kind of nonfiction. And I really like books about that help you, like, I don't know, clean up your life in some way. And so a friend just sent me a book about, like, I think it's called The Psychology of Money. And I started reading it. And I was like, what is it that I love so much about reading about personal finance? And I thought, I think it scratches the same itch that like books about cleaning up your diet or your house, like gardening, like, I don't know, something about improving things where it kind of like gives you a peek inside your head and why you do things and then gives you like strategies for doing them better. I find them very satisfying and I don't know how much of the time the advice sticks, but I just like reading them.
That's funny because I would have thought that sometimes your inner rebel would not like books like that because they can be kind of prescriptive or, you know, like not judgy, but you know what I mean. They're meant to help you improve. So that last one kind of surprises me.
Well, it just kind of depends on the tone of the book. Some of them I do find obnoxious and some of them I enjoy not doing the thing that is, but I can actually get quite, I can really be a convert to things if I believe it. If the author puts up a really convincing argument for eating a certain way or whatever, I can really get on board, but it has to be like they convinced me and then I got on board.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense. I am reading a lot of memoir and biography and history. Those are like genres I return to again and again. Last year, 2020, I really made an effort to read more fiction. And I think I ended up at almost half and half fiction and nonfiction. But I have read 8 books so far in 2021, and they're all nonfiction. And they're all, for the most part, memoir or biography or something historical. Or, I read Keep Sharp by Sanjay Gupta, who's the CNN doctor who's always on TV, and he's a brain scientist. And that, in terms of like actionable things to clean up an area of your life, that's a really good book about what's good for our brains, which is, spoiler alert, it's mostly like what we already know, eating well, sleeping well, having a meaningful, rich life, not worrying too much. But from a neuroscience perspective, it's really interesting and it's very actionable, especially if you're in your 40s, say, and not like 65 and already experiencing cognitive decline. So that was the one I would say like more like health or like action oriented book like that I've read, but everything else. And it's all been nonfiction this year.
Okay, Sarah, so now we're going to dig into our idiosyncrasies when it comes to reading things. And these are just 3 quick little questions. You go first on this one. Do you ever abandon a book in the middle or have more than one book going at a time?
No and no. I mean, I have abandoned books, but I've done it so seldom in the past 5 years that I can tell you like which ones they are, and I still feel bad about it. And I know I should get over that because I know people love reading more when they don't force themselves to finish books. I know that, but I can't help it. And yeah, I'm never reading 2 books at once ever.
Okay. That doesn't surprise me. And it doesn't surprise me that my answer is yep on both. I often abandon books in the middle. I sometimes go back. I sometimes forget they exist. The Kindle makes that easy, you know, because you can kind of flip around. But I have books all over the place. I have books going, I mean, I'm looking at my bedside table and there's probably a stack of like 7 books. 8 books maybe there, plus my Kindle. I probably have one downstairs I'm working on, so I am all over the place. Okay, so I'll answer this question first. Will you return to a series again and again? And I hinted that yes, the answer is yes. But I would say, like, this is like 50% of my reading is just going back to things I've already read. To me, that is like the ultimate comfort read, is to go back to a book or a series that I love and reread it and reread it, and sometimes not finish it, but just like taste it again.
Yeah.
It is a big part of the way I read. How about you?
Yeah. No, not at all as an adult. Although as a kid, I reread things constantly, almost, I would say, obsessively. And my kids do the same. And because I've raised three readers, I have reread a lot of children's literature and then we'll listen to the audiobook. So there is a comfort in rereading. And like, there's a few books, Pride and Prejudice, A Tree Grows in Brooklyn. There's a few rereads that I have done, but it's, I don't seek it out. And I really don't do it really as an adult. It's much more tied to the literature of my growing up. And then with my own kids, then I've even reread again with them.
Yeah. And a lot of the books I reread are ones that I started as a kid or a teen. I really have a lot of connection to the books I read as a teenager. Mm-hmm. But even now, if I start a series and think it's great, I'll go back and reread it again later. Or do you ever do that thing where you start reading a book? Because I know you said you have book amnesia a lot of the time, where you start to read a book and you're like, this just, it's so familiar. It's like, I know what's going to happen. And then you realize you actually did read that book and then completely blanked.
So I don't, because I have a good memory for the trappings of the book, who wrote it, what it's about, what it looks like, where I was when I was reading. What my amnesia is all about plot. I have plot amnesia. Like, I can't tell you what happens in a, and the same with TV. I can tell you where I was when I watched it, and I could tell you what the characters looked like and probably what they were wearing and how their house was decorated. I have like weird attention to detail of some things, but I have a very hard time with narrative recall. It's like the plot itself is what escapes me. So that doesn't happen to me as much as you would think, because I tend to have a memory for at least having read it, not what it was about.
Well, then that, I think that means if you read a really great book, you should make a note of it and then read it like two years later.
Yeah.
And it'll be just like you've never read it.
Totally.
But it'll be guaranteed to be amazing.
Totally. And I rewatch TV series for that same reason. And I don't have any problem like with really rewatching, like a deep rewatch of Mad Men like we're doing right now. Yeah. Hmm.
Okay. Well, last question in the book reading section. And that is just, do you feel pressure to read like the hot book of the moment, or does it appeal to you to be in on those trends? And you go first on this one.
No, not at all. Most of what I see is popular fiction, because I feel like a lot of my internet friends are big readers of fiction and I'm not a big reader of fiction. So I see it. My first reaction is, oh, all those covers are so pretty because all the covers are beautiful. The titles are very clever, but I don't feel pressure. If anything, I feel resistance because it feels like I'm way behind. Like, I'm never going to read all of these popular fiction novels. So no, why bother? Sometimes I feel interested in a popular nonfiction title if it feels like I would really like it, but it's not pressure like I should read it. It's just like, oh, this author is like on every podcast doing interviews. I'm curious about this book, but that's more for my own. I genuinely want to read it. I don't feel pressure like I should.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same. Like, I don't feel any pressure to be like in the know about the plot. In fact, there have been books that I purposely avoid, no surprise, because they're cool or because everyone's talking about them. It's just not really a factor for me. It's just not something that dictates typically the books that I would read. And I might get curious like you, or if I think the book would be helpful. Right. I might be like, oh, I should read that. But again, it's like really, it's not because I need to water cooler talk about it, you know?
No, even I read Glennon Doyle's Untamed like a month ago. And even that, I was like, I don't want to read this because everyone's reading it. But I actually wanted to read it because it's a well done book. So yeah, I have that internal resistance hard.
Well, this episode has gone much longer than I think either of us were anticipating, but that's okay. It's a fun topic. I just wanted to close this by asking you, Sarah, if you feel like your reading habits and books kind of like are the same when it comes to non-book reading articles. And I will just say my habits when it comes to reading articles and magazines and things like that are very sporadic. I enjoy all kinds of reading. You know, as a kid, I read cereal boxes. So like, I really, really will read any words that get in front of my face. But with those, I feel like I probably put away so much content in a day and don't even realize I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Because it's just happening like very sporadically. So what about you? Are you the same or are you more intentional?
No, I'm kind of the same. And I feel a little sad, like my attention span for things like online articles or online blog posts and essays and things that are a little bit longer I feel like I'm a victim of our time, which is this very distracted, like COVID pandemic life of a lot of scrolling and swiping. So I don't feel particularly intentional about what I read. I do read the New York Times and the LA Times. Like I scan the headlines in the morning. That's a little different. I used to use something called Instapaper, which allows you to save online articles and then read them later and in a really clean format. Like when you open it up, it's almost like a Kindle or like an e-reader where all the ads are stripped away. You're just consuming your long form articles. And I would save them throughout the week and then sit down and read those. I think the problem is I'm not giving a ton of time to my book reading. So like it feels like another thing to have a whole day where I sit and read articles. So yeah, I'm not particularly fulfilled in this area. And then it also occurred to me, we never talked about audiobooks because I don't think either of us listen to audiobooks, do we?
No, I don't. I've never made the jump. Like I have listened to audiobooks before. For me, it feels like a longer time commitment for some reason, even though I know it's not. It's just not something I like to read books that are in my hand and I just haven't got. And I think that audiobooks are amazing and I could maybe be a convert, but I just haven't done it.
Yep, I feel the same. My kids are obsessed and my kids listen to audiobooks constantly. So I have a deep appreciation. And Brian used to when he used to drive for work. So I have a total appreciation for audiobooks, but same thing. Since we're talking about listening and reading today, when I'm listening, it's a podcast or maybe music. And when I'm reading, it's a book in my hand.
Yeah. Well, this has been really, really fun. I guess, should we give one more shout out to the survey since that is closing soon?
Yes. Please fill out our survey at themomhour.com/survey. And we'll leave it up for another week or so. And then on Tuesday, we're going to be talking about friendship. And it's actually a 2-part episode airing this coming Tuesday and the following. And we had a lot of great listener feedback on that topic. So I know there's some people eager to dive into that conversation around friendships in motherhood and especially in this like weird 2021 that we're living through right now. So we'll be back with you on Tuesday.
Talk to you then.
Hey, everyone, Sarah here. Megan and I would absolutely love it if you hit pause right now, right where you're listening, and left the Mom Hour a rating and review. If our show has helped you feel a little more confident as a mom or a little less alone, that's one of the absolute biggest ways you can thank us. And it really takes about 30 seconds. If you're listening in Apple Podcasts, just navigate to the Mom Hour's show listing. So not the episode you're listening to right now, but the kind of landing area for our show as a whole. And then scroll down to leave a rating or review. Thank you so much.
Sarah, I have been having just the best time making my new podcast, The Tease Made. I launched back in November, and so far I've covered topics like staying warm on cold winter walks, nurturing creativity, how to be a great host, and even Nordic secrets to loving winter.
Well, you know I am fan number one of The Tease Made. It's got such a cozy vibe, and it seems like you've really hit your stride in covering topics like wellness, self-care, comforting rituals and routines, and home and family life.
Just look for The Tease Made with Megan Francis wherever you get your podcasts or head to theteasemade.com to find all the episodes.